Lord, teach us what we are to know. Show us what we are to do to be your disciples. Amen. So I wonder if anyone here did not spend hours with neighborhood friends playing hide and seek. As children, one person, you know, is designated to be it, and the rest of us found the most ingenious places to hide. So if you were in the house, I would usually go under the bed. You could go in a closet, you could hide in the pantry. Outdoors, find a big rock to hide behind or a tree. And if you were brave enough, you could hide right around the corner of the person who was it and counting. And after counting to 100, it would open their eyes, turn around and shout, "Ready or not, here I come. Come out, wherever you are." And then we who were hiding would wait for the right moment to come out when the back was turned and race home without being caught. I've enclosed with your bulletin a tiny image of a beautiful painting by William Holman Hunt. Maybe you're familiar with it. It's called The Light of the World. The Light of the World. It's a classic picture painted in the 19th century. And it is a picture of the beautifully robed Jesus standing in a garden, gently reaching out to knock on a closed wooden door. And it's getting dark, so you can see Jesus is holding a lantern. And you can see even behind him, stars starting to come out into the dark sky. And the message seems to be clear. Jesus wants in. Jesus wants to come into our hearts. But the larger message maybe is that Jesus wants in so that he can bring us out. Jesus is the divine it, calling for us, come out, wherever we are. Now, if you look a little closely at the door, you'll also see that it's partly covered with creeping ivy, and the hinges and nails, not quite as evident in this tiny picture, are rusted. So the door has not been opened in quite some time. But Hunt was a painter who depicted doctrines, not pictures. There wasn't Jesus standing in front of him and he was painting. It was more, how do I communicate a doctrine? And the doctrine that he summarized for this painting was, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." Now, in his time, Hunt's portraits met with immediate popularity. He sometimes didn't strike the right chord with the evangelicals of the time, but it was largely the power of this painting and others that earned him the title or the accolade. What Bach did for Protestant music, Hunt has done for Protestant painting. Light of the World, the original painting, is now exhibited at Keble College in Oxford. When Hunt became 70 years old, he painted another, which is in a cathedral, but the original is in Oxford, and it's been called the single most important contemporary portrayal of Christ in the 19th century. Since he was a painter that wanted you to understand doctrine, he painted that closed door, said later, as a closed mind that needed to be opened to Jesus' message, to the salvation that Jesus offers. So for us today, Hunt's portrait of a door-knocking Jesus more likely reminds us that the message of Jesus and the mission of Jesus is not a solitary one. It's not an introspective one. It's not based on my individual spiritual life. Because faith is not only an inward-directed, contemplative life, but faith is action. It goes outside to live and to play and to work,
And while it looks like Jesus is knocking on the door to the human heart to get in, he's actually knocking on the door to invite us out, to be part of his mission in the world. Now, in today's Isaiah text, he talks about what will happen to Judah when her people have truly welcomed God, truly joined God's mission in the temple. So Isaiah has just finished. We don't hear chapter 1 today. We start in chapter 2, the good news. But in chapter 1, Isaiah has just condemned them for their disobedience because the Israelites had been following the law letter by letter while they ignored the needs of the people around them. So Isaiah is very clear about what is necessary to be truly obedient. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. And if you notice, ceasing and learning were not decisions or attitudes, they had to be actions. The people couldn't simply stop doing evil and yet do nothing against it. History has shown us that. Time and time again, living silently with evil is to be on its side. In the past century, think about the inaction that allowed the horror of the Holocaust. Think about whatever inaction allowed Jim Crow to flourish. No wonder Isaiah connected ceasing evil so tightly to the activity of doing good. So Isaiah today gives us a vivid image of that day when we have ceased doing evil and started doing good. People are streaming to the holy mountain from every corner of the earth. They carry with them the weapons of war, which are not needed anymore. They climb the mountain and they cast the swords aside. There must be blacksmiths standing around because those old weapons of war are pounded into instruments that can be used for growth. So more people arrive, drawn to the light, ready for a new day of peace. That's a beautiful vision of the future for the time of ceasing to do evil and learning to do good. Now, in case those morally lazy Judeans had forgotten exactly what doing good meant, Isaiah also made a list of what that meant, list of suggested activities. So on the way to fulfilling God's vision, here's their list. Seek justice and rescue the oppressed. And if these directives were a little too general, he adds, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. These activities actually forced the worshipers of the time in the temple out into the world because women and orphans were not allowed inside. Isaiah orders the followers of the Lord to go out and get their hands dirty, to work in the midst of people who really need their care and protection. Another grade school memory along with hide and seek. In grade school, if you accidentally bumped into someone, you were trying to see around them, and there they were in your way, you would say, gee, you make a better door than a window. A new look at Hunt's painting suggests the same comment might be made about Jesus. Hunt showed him knocking at a door, gently urging those shut up inside to open up and let him in. But Jesus is not only knocking on the door, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way out of a closed up, interior focused, self-absorbed life. He said it himself, I am the door. So Jesus is the door out of isolation and security. Jesus doesn't come into our hearts, into our lives to just hang around like some eternal house guest. His life and mission is all about providing us with action. It's not about letting us sit inside watching out the window while we are safe inside. Jesus is a better door than a window. He makes it possible for us to go outside ourselves, to walk outside the protective walls that we've constructed around us, and to step out into a world that needs us. In other words, Jesus comes in to get us out. "Let me in," he says. "I am the door, the way out of whatever's trapping you inside. Just follow me." Jesus says this to us as he said it to Lazarus long ago. Come out. Come out from the seduction of bitterness to risk forgiving someone who's hurt you. Come out from the rigidity of being right that pulls us away from people who disagree with us. Come out from that fear that prevents us from starting anything new. Come out from self-absorption that keeps us from seeing what the needs are out there. Come out, wherever you are. Amen.